Chapter 11, Opportunity Estimation. Because opportunity is multiplying for all of us, we need to have a first line of consideration so that we can quickly choose which opportunities are worth investing the time to look at more deeply and which to let go by without wasting our time. Most of us, in my experience, do not give potential opportunities an optimal initial consideration. What I mean by this is that when an opportunity either presents itself or is within reach, we don't take a few moments to do some quick mental math to determine the real potential of the opportunity. Further, because different types of opportunities have implications for different parts of your life, it's important to stand back and consider what a potential opportunity could mean to the bigger picture of your life. In this section, I'd like to share the models that I use when doing a first pass at considering an opportunity. These models are relatively simple, and that's part of the point. For initial estimation, we don't need a deep dive. We just need to know whether or not what we're looking at deserves a deep dive. The skill of quick estimation is one that becomes more valuable and more efficient with use. Use these models with each opportunity and practice them. The more you use them, the more automatic they become. We'll start with a couple of insights about how we get off track when estimating, then we'll dive into the techniques for making quick estimates to figure out whether or not an opportunity is worth considering in depth. Emotional estimation. It turns out that we humans are not very good at estimating how things will make us feel in the future. We assume that winning the lottery will make us happy forever, or that losing a limb will make us depressed forever. But this isn't the case. If you look at the studies, you'll see that after an initial boost or drop in happiness from a particular result in life, we tend to return to our original levels, even if we get a huge windfall or suffer a tragedy in life. Lottery winners and people who are disabled in accidents return relatively quickly to their original level of happiness, which says a lot about human psychology. This tendency to assume that reaching a goal will make us permanently happy, or that suffering a setback will make us permanently unhappy, tends to color our ability to initially estimate or perceive the implications of an opportunity to our lives. We get excited about things that actually won't result in long-term benefits to our lives, or we avoid things that we perceive as having too much risk, rather than taking a more objective look at the possibilities before letting emotions get the best of us. If you see an opportunity, remember that you will only be temporarily fulfilled by a success. And also remember, very importantly, that if you go for it and fail, it's not the end of the world. You'll recover emotionally and move on. Value myopia. Each of us has a unique way of assigning value to things in life. Because this is our lens for estimating and evaluating things, it is essentially invisible. It's like a colored contact lens that we wear on the eye. It's so transparent that we forget it's changing our vision dramatically. The way we value things determines much about our perceptions, our thoughts, decisions, actions, and results in life. I believe that each of us has a native way of perceiving the world. In my model, based on the triune brain model, we tend to be either more attuned to the physical material domain, or more attuned to the emotional social domain, or more attuned to the conceptual idea domain. If you're more a physical material person, you're going to be looking at opportunities through a more physical, pragmatic, practical lens. If something doesn't seem like it can be done, or like it can be done easily, you might drop it from consideration immediately. You might not look deeper to see if it might be worth the extra effort because it could yield some benefit in another domain in life, like feeling more fulfilled or learning a new model. You will be measuring the value of an opportunity by the tangible, pragmatic, real results that it can deliver. If you're more of an emotional social type, you'll be unconsciously viewing opportunities through more of an emotional, relational, affiliation lens. If you perceive that the opportunity might create social tension or make someone feel bad, including yourself, you might not even consider it. Or you might get hung up on an opportunity that you think will make someone feel happy and not seeing how much it will cost you in other areas. And you will likely not take into consideration how this opportunity might bring you tremendous benefit physically or as an achievement, or how it might help you learn conceptually or to realize your purpose. And if you're more of a conceptual idea type, you'll be unconsciously looking through a more rational, logical lens. If an opportunity doesn't make sense to you initially, it might never even be considered as an opportunity. Or let's say that the potential opportunity involves going through cognitive dissonance or might lead to you changing your worldview. Something like that might be avoided completely as it has a big unknown attached to it. Or maybe the opportunity would lead to a huge improvement in your social life or your health, but these never even hit your radar because you've only got your rational lens on as you're scanning. We each tend to use our own unconscious values lens and system when estimating the risks, costs, rewards, and benefits of an opportunity. While this is obviously a strength that each of us has, it also represents a huge blind spot, and we need to compensate for this by widening our estimation of the value that an opportunity or possibility could bring in our lives. My mother tried to persuade me to have a child since I was a teenager. Okay, really. I always felt offended that she was pressuring me continually throughout my life. I imagined a child as being a bad logical choice for me, as I liked having my attention for my own purposes, and I didn't like the idea of a screaming brat making my life miserable. Well, fortunately, I ultimately got the message that a child could bring something powerful to my life in a dimension that I couldn't even imagine, thanks to my wife. After having my daughter, I can now see how blind I was to the potential value of the family opportunity. I couldn't estimate it because I didn't have the experiences and frame of reference to know what the benefits could be. I was looking at the possibility through a rational lens rather than seeing it through the prism of emotional fulfillment and enjoyment in life. Every day, I have a type of fun playing with my daughter that was absent from my life before that. I have learned a new level of self-regulation and a new level of living as a self-aware role model. I have seen myself being loving and considerate in situations where I assumed that I wouldn't be able to handle the needs of another. These experiences have developed my self-esteem and my overall satisfaction and fulfillment with life in ways that I could not have even imagined. As you move through life, remember to be willing to put aside your native way of looking at and valuing reality and to learn new ways of estimating the viability of an opportunity. The power of estimation. Over the past few years, I have become much more interested in intelligence, understanding what it is and how it works. The deeper I go, the more I come to believe that intelligence is primarily about using maps or models of the world in order to better understand, interpret, and predict. If we feel that we understand something, we'll have more confidence to act, to take risks, to try things, and to find our way forward. If we learn how to interpret the events that are happening and the experiences that we're having, we can orient and situate ourselves better in the swirling layers of change that are happening around us. And if we can predict better, we can arrive at what will happen in the future before others, and we will have a great advantage. Prediction is quite the paradox. The idea that we can know what will happen in the future is a mind bender. I just read something written by a reputable scientist who said straight up that no one can know what will happen in the future and that even trying is futile. In a sense, this is true, but in a sense, it is also very limiting. I personally think that it's better to walk through reality believing that you can develop your innate ability to know what will happen in the future. I also believe that it's useful to sometimes believe things that aren't absolutely true or accurate if they help you realize an important value in life, have better relationships, make a bigger contribution, or achieve your purpose. My wife takes this much further. She thinks that beliefs should be created in real time to help you move through the domain of thought and then be released immediately to make room for whatever is true next. To her, it is as if beliefs were makeshift bridges across an experiential gap, generated for an immediate purpose at hand, not to be dragged forward into our future identity past their expiration date. In her words, beliefs get stale fast, and we can always make newer, better ones with the latest data. If she weren't the most brilliant person I know and my greatest teacher, I might think that this was overly weird. As it is, I think that it's almost too weird, but I'm trying to develop more of this quality in my own thinking, and it seems to be helping. The point is that there are many different ways to approach thinking, understanding, explanation, reasoning, decisions, communication, and prediction. And none of them is the, quote, right or best or only one, unquote. If you want to adapt more rapidly, develop more efficiently, and evolve to your highest potential so you can get the outcomes you want in life and be more interesting and attractive to others, then it's important to learn diverse ways of relating to your experiences in the world. Now that we just went down that rabbit hole, let's pop back out to talk about estimation again. I think the practice of estimating how things will go in life is very valuable. It's important to not only estimate, but to also check back in after events happen, to see how the estimation turned out, and to refine and tune our estimation and our intuition systems. It's also important to engage in collaborative estimation practices with friends, associates, and groups of people to study prediction in the context of a group dynamic. Things change when you and others are under the influence of the social entity or the group mind. By practicing estimation on these different levels, you get a much better insight into what it is and how it works. Wyatt Woodsmall has taught me about the philosophical idea of teleological causation. Telos is the ultimate end of something. It can be thought of as the end state that a person or process is moving toward. Aristotle apparently introduced the idea that an outcome could actually become a cause. This is a unique situation that happens in human minds when we set a goal, which is an outcome or end state, and we do it in our minds, and then go to work to create it, the goal having then become the cause of the outcome. Teleological causation is another mind bender because it inverts the way that we intuitively experience reality as happening. I watched a documentary about Werner Erhard, the founder of EST, where he discussed being friends with Richard Feynman, the legendary physicist. Werner said that he learned a lot of things from Feynman, but remembers one thing that Feynman learned from him. Werner told him that there were some things you could only learn by creating them. This stuck with me, as it's a new way of thinking about learning. Werner is well known for teaching people to stop putting their past in their future and just repeating what has already happened in their lives. In his experiential courses, they walk people through the process of creating a place of pure possibility in their imaginations and then starting to invent new things to put in that imagined space for their future. Another mentor of mine, Jerry Ballinger, regularly used the metaphor of standing in front of a giant canvas and painting the story of your life. Most people look at the past, at what has already happened and what has already been painted. They stand close to the canvas, looking at the past, and then continuing to paint the same story, patterns, and events over and over. Instead, he would say that we can stand back, look over our other shoulder, and realize that there's a huge blank canvas in our future, and we can paint anything we want there. The self-help and New Age movements have extended these ideas even further, suggesting that you can have anything you imagine, and that if you believe something enough, it will appear as if by magic. I tend to stop short of the magic wand theory of manifestation, but my aesthetic falls somewhere in the middle between it's impossible to predict the future and imagine a new car in your garage and it'll be there when you get home. As I mentioned earlier in this book, I like the idea of the creativerse, and I think that it's very empowering to migrate into this paradigm of reality and to live more and more from and into this way of being. Like anything else, you can become overly weird about or attached to these ideas, so you have to be mindful as you do it. But what I'm saying here is to start noticing your beliefs about the future, about predicting the future, and about estimation. The more we can estimate what is going to happen in a particular situation, then watch as things happen, and then review after they happen to see how our prediction matched up to what actually happened, the better. Estimate how much your purchases will cost when you're shopping. Estimate how reaching a goal will make you feel and for how long. Estimate how much more energy you will feel in your body after exercising. Estimate how a meal will impact your ability to think and interact with others. As you learn new models, use them to estimate what will happen. I was fascinated maybe 10 or 15 years ago when I heard Ray Kurzweil explaining how solar, wind, and other renewable forms of energy would completely replace fossil fuels in the coming decades. When he was making these predictions, solar and other renewables accounted for less than 1% of energy production, and they were far too expensive to be considered viable by most people. But Ray pointed out that renewables were doubling every 2 years, and that, according to his law of accelerating returns, that even this was accelerating, so they would be doubling in a shorter and shorter amount of time in the future. Well, fast forward to now, and almost 70% of new power generation installations are solar and other renewables. We still have a long way to go, but the point is that it's often hard to see what's happening if you are using old models of thinking or going on intuition alone. As a tip, if your models of estimation don't involve compounding and cumulative growth, then you really can't see what's coming with any kind of clarity. So start estimating more. Estimate how things will go in the physical world. Estimate how things will impact your energy. Estimate how an event will make you feel. Estimate what will happen in relationships. Estimate how something will change your thinking. Estimate what will happen in culture and society. I've developed a practice of using percentages to assess how likely an outcome will be, or how likely it is that I'll do something. For example, if a friend asks if I can come to their party a month from now, I rarely say yes or no. Rather, I think about what might be going on in my life and then offer them a percentage. I estimate a 35% chance that I'll make it. I try to be as honest and accurate as possible. My friends often laugh at this, but they also appreciate the effort and the honesty. And remember to check back as the outcomes are happening and after they happen. Notice how you will tend to only notice those places where your predictions and estimates were correct. This is confirmation bias, by the way. But look deeper and use this process of going meta to estimation and prediction as a gymnasium to work your mental muscles and your imagination. Practice estimating within 20%. As we become more entrepreneurial and live more entrepreneurial lives, we realize that we will have to take more responsibility for our outcomes in life if we want to create the lives and lifestyles that we want for ourselves. Taking personal responsibility comes down to saying, I am in this situation largely because of the decisions, choices, thoughts, beliefs, relationships, and actions that I have had, made, and taken in the past. I choose to assume responsibility for where I go and end up in the future and what my life and lifestyle become. But this isn't the kind of dynamic where, once you do it, everything goes exactly the way you want it to. As you take more responsibility in your life, and you also realize that it's very challenging to create the reality that you want to live in, you get a sense of the challenge that it also is to get good at estimating with any kind of confidence. As a help and support to this endeavor, I recommend that you add what we might call a meta estimation. And this is the idea of being happy if you get your estimation within 20% of what actually happens. If you can estimate an outcome, whether it be how long it will take you to walk from one place to another, how much a home improvement project will cost, or how many people will want to buy your new product, and be thrilled if you get within 20%, it frees you in an important way conceptually. Too often, perfectionism and paralysis of analysis cause us to go into recursive loops of fear and hesitation. We get the feeling that if we can just go and think about it all over again and plan some more or get some new insight, then we will be able to perfectly estimate and predict what will happen. And if we can do that, we can then relax and move forward. But it's not possible to get estimates and predictions perfect. So we get caught in the never-ending loops of trying to be perfectly confident before doing anything. I think that a lot of this is left over from the basic model of competitive education and keeping a job that's set a context for so many of us. In those situations, the entire path was planned out. The twists and turns were known, and the description of, quote, success, unquote, could be known with some level of confidence, at least by the teachers and bosses. If you didn't do things the, quote, right way, unquote, then you got a lower grade or a lower paycheck, or you were expelled or fired. The benefit of this is the systematic transmission of verbal and mathematical literacy to billions of people, but the cost is the programming of conformism and playing it safe to the point where many people never develop their creative ability to imagine, design, and produce the outcomes that they are capable of in the world. This underlying pattern manifests when we try to estimate an outcome in some domain of life and find ourselves stopped because we don't want to be wrong or look bad to others. In many cases, it's just easier to do what you've done in the past or to imitate what others are doing than to deal with the cognitive and emotional stress of imagining things going differently, then being wrong and losing what you have or being rejected by others. To counteract this, I suggest that you adopt the attitude that if you can estimate within 20%, you've achieved something important in life. Of course, you will sometimes be way off in your estimations, and sometimes you'll be much closer than 20%, but that's not what's important. The key here is to start with the assumption that getting within 20% is excellent. This helps relax perfectionism and paralysis of analysis and frees you up to start doing mental math a lot more often and fine-tuning your process as you go. This practice of doing quick estimations within 20% is particularly valuable with business and investing opportunities. I regularly use quick estimates and even quick spreadsheets to estimate how a set of business and financial investments might play out. Because these usually involve compounding over time, it's very enlightening to see how an investment might work out over several cycles. As you develop in your life, you will notice that life in general becomes more complex. You go from doing a particular job to managing a group of people who are doing not only that job, but also other jobs. You go from being single to being in romantic relationships and then to being part of a larger entity called a family. You learn new lessons about how things work in the world that have much deeper implications. You start to see complexity in domains that you thought were simple. And this is happening across many domains of life at once and across new domains that you didn't even know existed. When you give yourself permission to make mistakes and you estimate outcomes with the idea that being within 20% is a win, you can start dancing with these different challenges and mastering them much faster. You start learning a lot more about yourself and your own process of learning and development. And you get better at seeing the future, creating the future, and working in collaborative partnerships with others to see and create the future. When you estimate, consider it a big win if you are within 20%. Assume a 20% success rate. When you become an entrepreneur, one of the major adjustments that you have to make early on has to do with how you estimate your chances of success. An example might be creating a new marketing campaign or launching a new product. What is the possibility that your new advertisement is going to work? Or the probability that your new product is going to succeed in the marketplace? It turns out that success is less likely than most of us think. In my company, we did an analysis of hundreds of new advertisements that we had tested over the past few months. In our analysis, only 1 out of 3 of them performed well enough to keep running. And keep in mind, my company was good at marketing and advertising. We had been doing it successfully for years, and when we wrote new ads, only 33% of them worked for us. A mistake that I see people make in business continually is estimating their probability of success as much higher than it actually is. I will talk to someone who wants to create a new product, service, or learning program, and after speaking with them for a few minutes, I'll realize that they are assuming that what they are doing is definitely going to work. What's the problem with being so optimistic? Specifically, the issue comes down to how much time, effort, energy, and attention you invest before actually testing out the idea on real customers. We'll discuss methods of testing your product and marketing ideas on a small scale before committing major resources in a later section. But for now, the thing to do is test out your idea on real prospective customers before you decide to commit and go big. And just know that there are always ways to pre-test your product and marketing ideas before you waste too much time on something that's likely to not work. When you are estimating the potential value of an opportunity, multiply that value by 20% to get a more realistic projected value. Most things that we try don't work out in business. By remembering this, it reminds you to run early validation tests and to develop those things that show promise and not just those things that you're excited about. Again, practice estimating and predicting how things will turn out in different areas of life. The more you can do it and check back in to see how things turned out, the more you can develop your powers of predicting and creating the future. Reminder, get a summary of this entire book, plus written implementation exercises for every chapter, additional bonus sections, and access to a free class to help you discover your best opportunities by visiting opportunitybonus.com. Opportunity estimation. Because opportunity is multiplying, we need a first line of consideration to quickly choose which opportunities are worth the time to look at more deeply and which to let go by. Humans are not very good at estimating, and we're particularly bad at estimating how something will make us feel in the long run. A particular opportunity will only have a temporary effect on your feelings. We each have a unique way of assigning value to things. Notice how you value things, experiences, and relationships. Practice estimating as often as you can, in as many domains as you can, in order to develop your ability to predict. Estimate how much your purchases will cost when shopping. Estimate how reaching a goal will make you feel and for how long. Estimate how much more energy you'll feel in your body after exercising. Estimate how a meal will impact your ability to think and interact with others. Teleological causation is the idea that effects can become causes, in the sense that by setting a goal, it can reach back to now and cause you to achieve it. Practice estimating within 20%, which is good enough when estimating quickly. It lowers the bar and gives you a game you can win much easier. Assume a 20% success rate with any new endeavor, especially a new business, to give yourself a realistic set of expectations. Where have you assumed that reaching a particular goal or eliminating something from your life would dramatically change things, but it didn't? How do you assign value to things in life? Are you more physical, more emotional, or more conceptual? What would be the effect if you assumed a 20% success rate for new business endeavors?